This Psalm 51 is, as you heard, I'm sure, noticed, a psalm of confession, of repentance, contriteness, even. A couple notes about this psalm. If you were following along in your pew Bible, you may have noticed at the top, and in some Bibles it says this, the tradition says this is a psalm that David wrote after the prophet Nathan rebuked him for what he had done with Bathsheba and her husband. You remember that that story, I'm sure. David commits adultery with her and then arranges to have her husband killed in the front lines of battle. His prophet, his counselor Nathan, comes to him and rebukes him for this on behalf of the Lord. And supposedly this is the psalm David wrote after being rebuked by Nathan and God. It's also, I was just reading this week, I've been reading some history of this particular time period, the 15th, 16th century in England. That's what I do for fun. And came across this reference. Supposedly this Psalm 51 was the psalm that Sir Thomas More, as he was about to be beheaded by Henry VIII, or the person on behalf of Henry VIII, supposedly this psalm is what Sir Thomas More recited just before his head was chopped off. So just some nice, pleasant, not gruesome at all facts about this psalm. It's a psalm that is about us as sinners, but even more so about God. It begins with this great plea, "Have mercy on me, O God. Be gracious to me," in some translations. It's a psalm that reminds us that God is merciful and forgiving of our sins. But then it goes even deeper than that. The psalm moves into language that's not just about forgiveness or mercy, but language about being washed, being made clean, being purified, being restored, being recreated even. This is a psalm that acknowledges God not just as creator, but the God who recreates again and again. And so the plea in this psalm is not just forgive, but wash me, purify me, make me clean, create in me a clean heart. There's an interesting reference as well to hyssop in this psalm. Hyssop is a plant thought to be part of the mint family, I discovered, and it was often used in cleansing rituals in the Hebrew tradition. In the Law of Moses, there are a number of references to hyssop. In Leviticus, there's a reference to hyssop being used in a ritual in which a person is declared clean from their leprosy or their skin condition, and hyssop is involved in that ritual of being declared clean from illness. There's another reference in Numbers to hyssop being part of a ritual in which you make clean your tent after someone has died in the tent. And according to the Jewish laws, a corpse is unclean. So you have to get your tent clean after someone has died within it, and you do that with hyssop as part of the ritual. So isn't it interesting, here in Lent, we have this reference to cleansing that involves both illness, maybe we would say the sin-sick soul even, and also death, both things that are part of our Lenten journey towards the cross. Clean me, wash me, make me pure, God, not just forgive, but clean me. In fact, make me new. Transform me. Sort of reminds me of Paul saying to the Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old passed away. That's what's being talked about in this psalm. Not just forgiving particular sins, but make me new, transform me, cleanse me, wash me. And it has to do as well with the heart. You notice all the references to the heart here. Create in me a clean heart. Put a new and right spirit within me. This isn't just about washing on the outside. It's about inner cleansing. Make me whole. Don't just forgive particular sins, Lord, or behaviors or habits. Make me clean inside, my heart and soul. Clean it. I think of Jesus rebuking the Pharisees by saying, quoting Isaiah, "You proclaim me with your lips, but your hearts are far away from me." And then going on to say to these Pharisees, "You take care of the surface. You make sure the outside of the cup is clean, but the inside is still filthy." The psalm speaks to that. God, don't just let us look good. Let us be good inside. So what might that mean, a clean heart? Well, there's a great reference in the prophet Ezekiel. This is from chapter 36 of Ezekiel. And the Lord says through Ezekiel, "I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you." Almost verbatim what's said in this psalm. And Ezekiel goes on, "And I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." A clean heart. Perhaps that means a heart that's not hard. There are references throughout Scripture to the people whose hearts are hard. Pharaoh, for example, in the Exodus story, we keep being told his heart was hardened towards God and towards Moses and the Hebrew people. Maybe when the psalm says, clean our heart, it's saying, clean away all the grit and grime and stuff that has made our hearts so hard to each other and to you, God. I think we live in a world, a society, a culture. I mean, there's a lot of problems with it. But I think we might all agree, people seem more hard-hearted these days. At least they do to me. I mean, all this division, all this vitriol that people pour out to one another, it's a sign of a heart that is hardened. We don't even think of other people as people. That's how hard our hearts have become. So the psalm says, God, transform me, renew me, soften my heart, clean it. Like my car that I clean all the salt and grit off of, and it looks almost new. Make my heart that way, clean and soft, so that I can be loving and generous and compassionate towards others. That even if they say something bad about a president I like, I don't think they're an awful person. Or vice versa, if they support a president or a politician that I think is an absolute idiot, I'm not going to immediately think they're awful people. Or whatever issue may divide us in a conversation, immigration, abortion, trade, gun control. Don't let me immediately assume other people are less than human because we happen to disagree. Don't let me assume any other human is less than human for any reason. Make my heart soft and loving and compassionate. And then the psalm goes on. It's not just about me, Lord. Don't just clean my heart and put a new spirit in me. Let me then proclaim it with my lips, share it with others, teach others even. So it doesn't just have to do with me being made new and clean. Then I begin to help others. In fact, the whole society become softer, cleaner, more godlike. So the psalm that begins with a cry of mercy to God on my behalf ends, I think, with this task of, and let me, God, as you are making me new and whole and better, let me help make our society and culture and world new and better. And I think that's part of our Lenten task, certainly this year, if not every year. Amen.